It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. A microscopic parasite has sickened more than 1,000 people in Michigan, as well as dozens of Wisconsinites. It's called Cyclospora, and it can cause intense digestive distress. People who become infected with the cyclosporiasis can face diarrhea for weeks or even months. It can be especially dangerous for people with weakened immune systems. Wisconsin has many fewer cases of cyclosporiasis compared to Michigan, but health officials are warning the public to take steps like washing fresh produce to try to slow the parasite's spread. Here for an update on cyclospora and other foodborne illnesses, Dr. Lynn Roberts is an epidemiologist for the State Department of Health Services. Dr. Roberts, thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I understand DHS has reported 43 cases of infection from cyclospora so far. So nothing like those Michigan numbers. How does this season compare to typical times in Wisconsin this year?
Well, good question. I'd say the good news for Wisconsinites is pretty much what we're seeing in Wisconsin so far this spring and summer is maybe slightly elevated compared to last year, but really nothing beyond what we would expect in a typical spring summer.
That said, when you see numbers like this in Michigan, does that raise some red flags for you at DHS? And you're watching for this disease more now.
Yeah, no, 100%. The way that this kind of illness can pop up, you know, in certain states in huge numbers and states nearby and much smaller numbers is always interesting. So we are definitely have our hackles up waiting, you know, to see if something is going to happen here. But so far, knock on wood, so good. We're keeping an eye out for sure.
When you see an outbreak of a foodborne illness like this elsewhere in the country, what kind of things do you do? What kind of things can you do to prepare for a potential outbreak here in Wisconsin?
Well, good question. We can't really do a whole lot to prevent, illnesses, but what folks can do, especially if they're really concerned, is do some of the same things we would recommend for our much, much more common foodborne illnesses. So as an example, you know, I was looking at the numbers, for example, the rough numbers for what we've seen for Salmonella in the same time period. And so far, like in Wisconsin, we've seen 270 cases reported. So things like Salmonella are much more common than Cyclospora. And some of the things you can do to prevent Salmonella, same as cyclo. So rinsing fresh fruits and vegetables with clean water before eating them. If it's a fruit or vegetable that can be washed with a produce brush, using that. And then additional things that you can use do to prevent bacterial illnesses like Salmonella that don't really prevent Cyclospora, things like keeping your meat separate from your fruits and vegetables, cooking things to the right temperature, that kind of thing.
I know there are illnesses like influenza and others that have seasonal peaks, right? We know when flu season is. Is there a foodborne illness season in Wisconsin where we see greater numbers than other times?
Very good question. There is generally in Wisconsin and throughout probably most of the northern hemisphere, I would imagine, our foodborne illnesses tend to peak in the summer months. So typically that's driven by our bacteria, like Salmonella, as I mentioned, as well as things like Campylobacter, which is even more common than Salmonella, or Shiga toxin-producing E. coli. So we are definitely in the thick of what we would call enteric season or foodborne disease season, 100%.
I imagine if there are diseases like Cyclospora happening in Wisconsin, you want to know about them. Are there things that people can do or that healthcare providers should be doing to keep that information flowing to you to make sure that we're not having an outbreak of this?
Yeah, no, and that's a great question. Thank you for asking. What folks can do is, you know, if they have the ability to, hopefully folks have healthcare insurance, and if they do, seeking their doctor when they're really, really feeling sick. Perhaps, you know, that provider, their healthcare provider may do what we call stool testing. That's how we find these illnesses in folks. And then if someone is diagnosed with something like Cyclospora or Salmonella or what we call reportable illnesses, when the health department gives you a call, if you could go ahead and answer that phone and speak with the health department calling you, that's how we find out this information, is by interviewing folks that have been diagnosed with these illnesses. That's how we're able to figure out what's out there, what's maybe contaminated, what isn't.
Dr. Roberts, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. Have a good one.
You too. That's Dr. Lynn Roberts, epidemiologist for the State Department of Health Services. We're talking about the parasitic infection cyclosporiasis and its outbreak in neighboring Michigan, not here in Wisconsin, at least as of now. We check in now on treatments for the parasite and how hospitals are reacting to the illness. Dr. Mary Beth Graham is a professor and associate chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and Dr. Graham is the medical director of infection prevention and control for Frederick Hospital. Dr. Graham, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Can you tell us about the symptoms? We hear just a little bit about cyclospora. What does this disease look like when somebody catches it?
The majority of people are essentially going to present with symptoms about a week after exposure. It can be as early as 3 to 4 days or up to 2 weeks after. But it's watery diarrhea. That's the most common symptom. And then along with that, people may lose their appetite, have some cramping and bloating. Nausea is not as common. Vomiting is not as common with this as we do see with some other foodborne illnesses. Most patients don't get a high fever with it. But again, it's mostly the watery diarrhea. And for some people, it can be relatively self-limited over a few days, and then people will feel better. But for a number of people, it can be prolonged. And with that prolonged watery diarrhea, and what we would suggest for patients is, if you have new onset watery diarrhea that is lasting more than 2 days, you really do need to contact your healthcare provider, because then they can do the testing. And again, as was mentioned, there are a lot of foodborne illnesses this time of year. You can think about, we've got farmers markets where people are picking up fresh fruits and vegetables and fresh herbs, et cetera. Wash those. Just again, make sure that they run under fresh water. You don't have to go buy those fancy bottle sprays of vegetable wash or whatever. Watermelons and cantaloupes, again, scrub the outside before you're taking the knife through it, because again, you could take, you know, organisms down into the flesh of those melons. So those are the things that we would want people to do. Then depending on what is found with the stool testing, and the turnaround time for stool testing is usually about 24 to 48 hours, then the decision can be made about treatment. So your previous speaker talked about salmonella. Most of the time with salmonella, we don't treat that because it can prolong a carrier phase. For cyclospora, it all depends on, are the symptoms persisting? And there is a common antibiotic. Most people know the word Bactrim or Ceftra, one of those. It's a sulfa drug, is a drug that is used to treat cyclospora. There are alternative antibiotics that can be used if somebody has an allergy to that particular antibiotic. Yeah. But getting the diagnosis, especially if you are somebody who'd be at risk for severe complications, so the very young, the elderly, immunocompromised patients, again, I can't stress enough, anybody can get loose, watery stools after a bad taco. I hate to put it that way, but, and it just lasts, it's self-limited for 1 day, that's fine. But anything is lasting into 2 or more days, really do seek healthcare so that you can be tested.
Now, the initial cases apparently are from eating produce contaminated here. We're still trying to isolate what produce. How can we make sure that people, once they've gotten this from that produce, aren't spreading it to other people, say, in their household?
So the major way it can be, all of these types of these protozoal parasites, so even if we think of things like Cryptosporidium or Cyclospora, et cetera, can potentially be spread person to person in a household, but it really takes intimate contact and contact with stool. I mean, that's the bottom line. It needs to be contact with stool. And so in some way, so what we will tell people is careful hand washing after you use the bathroom. If you have, again, if somebody is having horrible diarrhea, even using Clorox wipes, although some of the parasites aren't particularly, they're fairly resistant to bleach products, but even products, cleaning products with hydrogen peroxide can be used to clean off surfaces in the bathroom, around the toilet, so that somebody wouldn't pick that up. Again, that good hand washing after using the bathroom, good hand washing before you touch and clean your vegetables, et cetera, cleaning off surfaces. Those are the best ways to prevent spread
and
in the household.
In our last minute or so, I hear long-term diarrhea, hot summer months, dehydration, right, has got to be a worry here.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of things could people do at home? What kind of things do physicians recommend to deal with that dehydration?
I mean, oral hydration is great, and it's not only water is wonderful, but thinking about those electrolyte-containing type of drinks that you can get over the counter, there are plenty of them out there. And if somebody, like a diabetic, would be worried about getting an extra sugar, there are sugar-free products that are out there that you could also use for rehydration. And those, again, are very, very important. Our patients with underlying chronic kidney disease, et cetera, you know, they're always balancing that, you know, how much fluid you take in, but getting dehydrated can be an extra stressor on their kidneys. So, again, thinking about those, having those types of drinks and things like that available. Coffee, caffeine-containing products, not a great idea, because actually caffeine can act as a diuretic. So if you're drinking lots of caffeinated beverages or sodas, it may actually make you be losing more, you know, basically urinating more and not becoming as hydrated as you could. So again, the water, those other electrolyte-containing type products, I'm trying not to promote any of the specific ones. I know which ones I like.
Dr. Graham, thanks so much for the advice, and thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Mary Beth Graham, professor and associate chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Been talking about this Cyclospora parasite infection spreading a lot in our neighbors in Michigan through apparently fresh produce. We also heard from Dr. Lynn Roberts, epidemiologist for the State Department of Health Services. Has this story affected your life? If so, I'm sorry to hear that. Share your story. Or if you've got people in Michigan, what are you hearing from them? Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.